thank Naomi very much for her ministry and song tonight. It has been a blessing to all of our hearts. Let's turn in your Bibles this evening. It's good to be here. I was hearing that the young fellow was saying the old fellow was coming tonight. You know to look at us, who's the old fella? But it's good to be here nonetheless. And we've half an hour and we'll be out at 8. And we're going to just preach the gospel here tonight, just to warn you, dear friend, of your great need of salvation. The reason being, this may be your final occasion of coming to Christ. And it can be the case. I always say that simply because of what happened in my own life's experience. On Sunday morning, over just 20-odd years ago, sitting beside my father on his bed when he dropped dead. Beside me. Never said, son, I'm going to die. Never said, son, goodbye. He was just gone. He didn't expect to die that morning. You mightn't expect to die tonight, neither might I. But it's all possible. And to die without the Lord, dear friend, I want to be honest and earnest with you. It means you'll be lost in hell forever. That's the reality of it. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 19. There's three verses I want to leave with you tonight. Three places. Verse 5 is the first verse that I want to leave with you. And our Lord Jesus, now at this particular point of time in history, is drawing near to the end of his earthly ministry. He's heading towards Jerusalem. He's passing this area for the final time. And in verse 5, we have him on that journey, and the Bible tells us, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Turn over with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, just across the page. We're not going far. And in the verse 33, we have our Lord now, and, well, he's ready very closely to say that it is finished. For he's come now, and he's accomplishing the work that he came to do. And in verse 33 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, it says these words, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, is the last Bible reading. In verse 27, and 28. Then said he. No, it's not the Lord speaking now. It's the Lord referring to a man who's speaking. Then said he, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they come to this place of torment. The line of thought, as you can see already, the subject is the place. There is one more, and we'll deal with that place before we come to the end of the meeting. But let us unite our hearts together just in a word of prayer. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the ministry of our sister tonight in song, for the leading of the meeting, for the opening prayer, and for the privilege just now of sharing the gospel. Father, I ask you just now in the midst of this gathering that you'll still our hearts, that you'll give each and every one of us under this roof tonight a desire to listen. And Father, as we listen to thy word this evening, we pray that by your Spirit, like Lydia of old, that you might open up the understanding of the heart concerning their need of a Saviour. And as you do that, Lord, we pray that you'll give deciding grace, that souls in this place this evening may trust the Lord Jesus as their Saviour. To this end, we pray for thy grace to help, your anointing presence and power to be our portion. We pray that you would take us up and use us in order that we might glorify thy Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Folks, we have read from these three different passages of Scripture this evening, all found in Luke's Gospel, of course, Luke chapter 19, Luke's Gospel chapter 23, and Luke's Gospel chapter 26. In Luke's Gospel, we discover here our Lord, and he's on the last legs of his ministry. He's now making his way, as he has already referred to the disciples in the earlier chapter of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, when he said to them, and he drew them aside, and he says, "We must needs go now to Jerusalem, for all things that are written concerning me by the prophets shall be accomplished." And that is exactly where he was heading. And he had already met a man on the journey of that particular time. He had met a man called Blind Bartimaeus. He met him as a beggar just lying along the side of the road. We looked at that one of the last times I was here. And he is now passing through Jericho, and he's making his final journey to the cross. Now, within this particular town, there is a man who lives. And we discover here, let's just take time and look at it and read it and just expound it as the way it is. It tells us in verse 1 of chapter 19, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." Now that's a fascinating thought, because this was the place of the curse. And he had healed the man as he was coming in, and he had saved the man as he was coming in, and he's going to do likewise as he's going out. And the Bible says, "And Jesus passed," or entered and passed through Jericho, "and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And this man, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, for he was little of stature." And here we have this individual in Luke's Gospel chapter 19, which is very well known to us, even from we were children. It's one of the most familiar children's story that you'll find in the Bible. And here this young man, Zacchaeus, the Bible tells us here that he was a publican, that he was a chief among the publicans. The Bible tells us that he was rich. The Bible tells us that he had a desire, that he sought to see Jesus, who he was. But the Bible also tells us he had a problem. And the problem that he had was this, a twofold problem. Number one, he was little of stature. Number two, because of the press. Because when he sought to see Jesus, he could not, the Bible says, for the press, because he was little of stature. Now, nobody had any thought for this man. Nobody had any time for this man. He was just known in Jericho as a sinner. People detested him because of his occupation. He was a tax collector. But nonetheless, this wee man called Zacchaeus obviously had heard something about the Lord Jesus. He had heard probably about the miracles that he had performed. And when he heard that the Lord Jesus was passing through, with determination within his heart, he tried his very hardest that he might see him. And therefore, as he tried, because of the press, because of the stature of his size, he was unable to do so. And therefore, he had to take matters into his own hands to another light. And the Bible tells us in verse 4 that he ran before and he climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see Jesus, for he knew that Jesus was going to pass that way. And you can see this rich man. You can see this boy who was well off. You can see this boy who was in want of nothing. You can see this boy who was detested by the neighborhood because of his activity, because the Roman government at that time would give him a specific amount of money that he would go and collect from the people. And if he brought and he collected any more, whatever else he collected beyond what they expected, he would have stuck it in his own pocket. He never became rich because of what he was being paid. He became rich by other means. And he was a deep-dyed sinner in the sight of the Lord, but he had a desire. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was. But he couldn't do it. So he tried his hardest, and he said, thought to himself, there's a tree down the street. And my Bible tells me that he ran. And he ran before the crowd. And he climbed up into that sycamore tree in order that he might see him, for he knew he was going to pass that way. And as he sat on that tree on that day, on that bench, in the midst of the town or in the midst of the street or wherever he was, as he sat there and he watched and he waited and he observed the crowd as they came down, little did he know that something was going to happen that day which was unexpected. He wasn't interested to see Jesus in order to call upon him for salvation. He was just interested in seeing him for who he was. Who is this boy that I hear so much about? And maybe you come to this church Sabbath by Sabbath and you're the very same. You come just simply to hear about Jesus. But you've never trusted him. You've never repented of your sin and accepted Christ as your Savior. And as he sat this day on that bench, something happened that he didn't expect. Because as the crowd came by, and as he looked down into the midst of the crowd, he could see the one whom all the commotion and excitement was about. And as he looked at the man in the midst of the multitude of the people, suddenly the Lord stopped. And I want you to get the picture of the vast multitude. I want you to get the picture of the Master as he steps underneath that sycamore tree on that occasion. And he stopped for a reason. Take a look at verse 5 again. It says, and when Jesus came to the place, what place? The place where Zacchaeus was. The place where the tree stood. The tree where the man sat. And as he stepped underneath that tree in that place, my Bible tells me here in verse 5 that Jesus looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. He wasn't willing to call on the Lord. He wasn't willing to come to the Lord until the Lord called. And he called him personally. And he called him promptly. And I want to say, dear friend, tonight, listen, there's quite a number in the meeting this evening. But you might be the Zacchaeus. And out of everyone in the meeting, you might be the one whom God's calling. Now, you'll know that in your heart because you'll feel it. And you'll sense it. 30-odd years ago in Armagh Elam Church, up in Armagh there, I was going past the place the other day. That's what put the line of thought in my head. I was going up the hill, up past the place, and I thought to myself, that's the place I sought the Lord. And I want to tell you something, dear friend. I had never any desire to seek the Lord as such. In fact, I just went in order just to please a boy that had been inviting me along to a mission. And I thank God for him. And I mind going with him to please him. And I mind going into the meeting with no desire and sitting down with quite a number of folk. There wouldn't have been as many as there's here tonight. But there's quite a number of folk in that meeting on that occasion. And I'm going to tell you something. In the midst of the meeting, I heard the call of God. I felt the convicting work of the Spirit of God, which I know now. And I was brought to a saving knowledge of the truth. And here's a wee man, and he's sitting in the tree, and he's a deep-dyed sinner, well-known in the community. And nobody loves him, nor nobody gives any time for him, nor nobody gives any thought for him. But I want to tell you something. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, but I came to call sinners to repentance. And dear friend, you can never be saved until you come to recognize you're a sinner. For the Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death eternally. And here was a sinner. A deep-dyed sinner whom the Lord loved and whom the Lord had an interest in. And I want to say this, whom the Lord met for the first time. And when he stopped under the tree, my Bible tells me at this particular place where he stood, he looked up. He saw him. He said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now with God's call, it brings a responsibility. You've got to respond. I heard God's call. I had to respond. Zacchaeus has listened to God's call. He's got to respond. And my Bible tells me that his response was promptly, verse 6, and he made haste and came down. Listen, and he received Jesus joyfully. Telling you, his life was changed. He received Jesus joyfully. He was transformed by the power of the living God. And thank God tonight to as many as received Christ. To them give he the power to become the sons of God. And dear friend in Lurgan Baptist Church tonight and beyond, you can be saved where you sit. You can know the transforming power and the cleansing power of the blood of the Lamb applied to your sin-sick soul. I want to tell you something. He was changed. If you go on up into Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, you needn't turn to it or anything like that, but you'll read about a rich young man came to Jesus. And do you mind, he had this conversation with the Lord Jesus, and he told the Lord what he did manward, how he kept all the commandments. And the Lord says, I'll tell you what to do. Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. But he went away sorrowful. Sorrowful. Not willing to do what the Lord asked. But do you see Zacchaeus, it's different. What did Zacchaeus do after his conversion? Take a look at verse 8 there. Yes, it says in verse 7, after this man had made haste and come down and received Jesus joyfully, verse 7 says, and when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he is gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. I'm telling you, he was a well-known sinner in his community. But listen, he was now a saved sinner. Watch verse 8. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. It's different. He's willing to give it up. But there's restitution. He says, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore unto him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, today is salvation come to this house. I'm telling you, this was a place of salvation. Turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 23 for a moment, till we look at the second place. And this place is a place of suffering. And this place is the place of sacrifice. You see, our Lord Jesus, when he had spoken to the disciples beforehand, I'm just going to read what he said to them. He said these words. He took them to him, unto him the 12, and he said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall, listen to it, they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again. I want to tell you something. He's heading to Jerusalem. I put it to you now, as he's making those final journey to Jerusalem here, I put it to you, in the midst of the crowd, in the midst of the multitude as they're following on, we read about blind Bartimaeus as he followed the Lord. I just wonder, did Zacchaeus follow him? As he made his journey to Jerusalem, and what does it tell us here in this particular portion of God's Word? In Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verse 33, it says, and when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Place of sacrifice. The place of suffering. The place of salvation. And there at Calvary, they crucified God's Son. The one who loved you. And the one who gave himself for you in order that you might be saved. And there on that middle tree at the place called Calvary, do you know what Jesus Christ did? He who knew no sin became sin for us in order that we might be reconciled to God through the death of his cross. You see, when John the Baptist introduced him to the word, you know what he said? He says, "Behold the Lamb which beareth away the sin of the world." And the Lamb of God was taken, and the Lamb of God laid down his life and shed his precious blood. For without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness for sin. And we thank God tonight. We thank God from the depths of our heart for the place called Calvary. We may not know, the hymn writer said, we cannot tell what pain he had to bear, but we believe that it was for us that Jesus he hung and he suffered there. You see, there was none other good enough to pay the price of our sin. Christ only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And at that place called Calvary, through those hours of crucifixion, that moment came when Jesus said these words, "It is finished." And the price of our redemption tonight has been paid in full in his own precious crimson ruby blood. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Why did he do it? He did it for God's not willing that any should perish, but that all may be brought to a knowledge of this truth. One more place. Turn over to me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Verse 27. What place is he talking about here? It's not on earth. Then he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren," verse 28, "that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place." Where is it? Well, verse 23 gives us the answer. Verse 22. It gives us the person and it gives us the place. "And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment." It's a place called hell. And we can see the desire of this man's heart as he lifts up his eyes in torments in hell. What is it? Send someone to warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And I'm here tonight in Urgan Baptist Church, dear sinner friend, listen. What you do tonight is between you and the Lord. I cannot make you come to the Lord. But what I'm saying to you is this. If you're coming to a point in your life where you recognize in this place tonight that you're a sinner. You realize that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you and has paid the ultimate price for your redemption at the place called Calvary. And you can be saved. If you're willing to come tonight just simply as you are and receive Christ as your Savior, just like Zacchaeus, you can leave this meeting rejoicing. To be able to put your head upon the pillow tonight and go to sleep, and to be aware in your heart, if I don't see tomorrow morning break daylight, all is well with my soul. I want to plead with you tonight. Come to Christ. In this place this evening. And don't put it off. For the warning from the Word of God is simply this. That now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And I plead with you in Jesus' name. You come as you are. You say to me, preacher, you don't know what I have done. I don't care what you have done. What I am saying to you is this. My Bible tells me plainly, you can take all your sin, you can pile it up before the Lord, and I'm going to give you one verse that will wipe it all away. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are you living with the guilt of sin in your heart? Something that you've done in the past, you've never really got over it. I want to tell you something that can be dealt with tonight beneath the blood of the cross. But you've got to be willing to come. And if you're not willing to come, you can be lost in the place called hell. For all of God's eternity. What a horrible thought. We word in finishing. Time's gone. There's a wee challenge here for the saint, isn't there? How content we can all get. Coming to gospel meetings, listening to the word, going home. That man's cry was, would you send somebody to warn them? And dear friend, I'm warning you tonight. And don't miss it. Please, don't miss it. May God give you grace to come tonight and to get to the place called Calvary. Let's pray.